Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Well, praise the Lord. Hello. Welcome to Sunday nights. I pray that tonight will be special. And I'm waiting a minute for a few people to come on. So let me pray. Father God, thank you so much. Father God, hold on a second. I have to adjust my... Sorry about that. I had to adjust my volume. So, Father God, I thank you for every person that will see or hear this Facebook or the audio version of it later. I pray that you will impart something to them. I believe you're preparing us for the next phase of what's going on in the earth. I see wonderful things ahead. I also see some difficult things ahead concurrently. But I really believe that God is preparing us to do a great work, something that I think some of us have dreamed of doing for many years. And so I believe God is preparing us. Father, I thank you for imparting to us continually the things that we need to stand strong during this day and to make a difference in people's lives and to help people and to help each other. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see you, even though I can't see you. I wish I could. Wish I could hug your neck. Hallelujah. So the verse that came to me as I was praying was, "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee." Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. That's a promise. I love that he said, I will never, never leave you nor forsake you. I love that he said, no one can take you out of my hand. No one, nothing can separate you from the love of God. So, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. That is amazing. He described himself as a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That means no matter where you go, no matter what happens, or you know, if you get lost in the woods, he's with you. If you get, meaning, obviously not lost in the woods, but lost in the woods of circumstances. You know, maybe taking the wrong turn or becoming confused about which way am I supposed to go. I thought I was on the right path. Now where am I? He is still with you. So you never really can lose your way. Even if you make a mistake in your journey, he is always right there. And he is always working with you to help you to find your way back to his path. And that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. You know, he didn't leave us alone. That's amazing to me. He could have left us alone to fend for ourselves, but I've been pondering this. He not only gave us the Bible, the Word of God, to help us find direction and instruction for righteousness, right? To understand how to live, how to even approach life, how to see truth, how to understand what's right and wrong, right? He gave us this amazing user manual called the Word of God, but he also did not leave us alone to figure it out, because we really couldn't, could we? Really, we couldn't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. And I think one of the great sadnesses for God is that a lot of the body of Christ hasn't understood or loved or cherished the Holy Spirit. And for me, he is the ultimate coach, the ultimate mentor, the ultimate relationship and closest friend, closest confidant. But I didn't always know that. And God gave him to us because God knew we probably wouldn't make it if we didn't have a true mentor. And we can't really go to a human, right? We really need God. But as, you know, as one man said, think about this, the Father is in heaven, isn't he? He's seated upon the throne. Jesus is seated at his right hand. But the Holy Spirit is here with us now, every moment. The Holy Spirit never leaves you. You know, if you haven't been baptized in the Spirit, I would encourage you to ask the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the book of Acts, there are several times, actually, well, I just refer to one, but in Acts 19, it refers to the fact that they met some disciples who loved Jesus. They'd been baptized with John's baptism. They were born again. They loved the Lord. But the apostles asked them whether they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. So they were disciples, they were believers, they loved the Lord, and they'd been baptized, but they had not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they didn't know Him. So they didn't know how to really be mentored in the following of the Lord. And they prayed for them, and they did receive the gift in the same way as the disciples originally received it in the upper room. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They received a prayer language. You can read it for yourself in Acts 19. But there are other places as well where it describes the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a second experience. Now, why is that such a big deal? And why is it a big deal that much of the church has said, well, we don't really want that. We don't trust that. We don't think that's good. Why is that a problem? Well, for me, I don't actually think we can be perfected or even really improved. I think without the help of the Holy Spirit, we will continue to go on and flounder, you know, try and fail, try and fail, try and fail. It's very hard. In fact, I actually believe it's almost impossible, if not impossible completely, to be a decent Christian without the help of the Holy Spirit. I think that because of the fall, because of what happened to Adam, it says that sin passed upon all men. You know, the Bible talks about that our understanding was darkened. And even though we're born again, that doesn't mean our understanding or the working of our mind was thoroughly enlightened the way Adam's was. Okay? Now, you say, well, but we have the mind of Christ. Yes, we do, but that's in the spirit realm. And that actually, I think, is part of the Holy Spirit. So without Him, how shall we know the mind of God? How would we know it? So, the Holy Spirit was given not just to be our teacher and our coach and our helper, our comforter. Have you ever had a time where you're just hurting? And, you know, a lot of people go to other people. Some people go to the bottle. You know, they go to drink. They go to food or something to help them feel better. But, you know, when you know Him, when you get to know the Holy Spirit, you can go literally cry. We might say cry on His shoulder. You can cry to Him. You can ask Him to help you know the truth, because a lot of times wounds are because we didn't really know truth, or we need this touch of the Spirit to be healed on the inside. He is our great comforter. See, before I knew Him, I loved God with all my heart. I was a dedicated disciple, but I didn't know very much, and I was failing. And when God brought me into an understanding of the friendship of the Holy Spirit, the friendship, not just having Him as a coach, not just learning to hear His voice, but the friendship and the ever-abiding presence of the Spirit. God wants you to understand that every moment of every day, the Holy Spirit is with you, always wanting to help you, and always being gracious, always being loving, always being kind. And who is He really? He is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's interesting because in the Word He's referred to as the Spirit of Jesus, but He's also referred to as the Spirit of the Father. Isn't that interesting? I was thinking about Jesus when He was talking to His disciples in the book of John, and He told them that the works that He did, the Father in Him was doing the works. He said, the Father in me is doing the works. Well, how would the Father be in Him, when He clearly said that we were to pray, Our Father who art in heaven? Well, if our Father art in heaven, what does that mean? What it means is that the Spirit of the Father, the Holy Spirit, had infilled Jesus, had come into Him, had filled Him to fullness, right? And was operating through Him, doing the works of the Father through Him. And He is our great example. The Holy Spirit wants to witness through you to people. The Holy Spirit wants to win people through you that you don't have the ability to win. We try persuading people in the flesh or causing them, you know, we try all kinds of things to make people want to be saved. But when the Spirit of God does it through us, it happens almost before we realize it. You know, I've had occasion, I had someone in my life that really did not want to hear about God, didn't want to talk about God. They had their own form of religion, wanted nothing to do with it, zero, absolutely nothing. And so I knew enough to not try to push it, and I would go away, and I would just spend time in prayer, just praying by the Spirit. And then what would happen is God would actually shock me, because the next time I would be with that person, the conversation would just flow, and suddenly we'd have a conversation, God would speak through me, they would receive it, and then the subject would get changed, and I would think, what just happened? Because if I tried to do that, it would not have gone over very well. But this happened 3 or 4 times, and ultimately the person gave their life over to Jesus Christ because they were able to see the goodness of God. See, the thing is, the Holy Spirit knows them intimately. They may not know Jesus. They may not know the Holy Ghost, but He knows them. Jesus knows them. And He knows what they need. He knows what their issue is. He knows what their sticking point is. What's the thing that's bugging them about Christianity or about Christ or about Christians? And He knows. And so often He will speak, but He needs somebody's mouth. He needs your mouth. So if you're trying to get your spouse saved and turned on to Christ, don't preach at them in your flesh. Your flesh will only tick them off and bug them. Don't do that. But spend some time. Go in your prayer closet, close the door, and spend some time praying in the Spirit. Pray for them and just leave it to God. Keep your mouth shut. Be kind. Always be kind. Just keep being kind. Don't try to manipulate them. Don't try to leave stuff around for them to see. Just go close your door. Spend time in prayer. And we like to say, hide and watch, because what you'll see is that the Holy Spirit will do things, maybe through you, maybe through someone else. He may raise up somebody else that will say the very thing you've been saying, right? Do you ever have that happen? And this happens a lot with spouses going both directions. They'll say, yeah, so-and-so said this to me, and it was so brilliant. And you're thinking, wait, didn't I say that 40 times? But what God will do is He will raise someone up because He needs someone's mouth. God has restricted Himself. And so often He will not do things unless it is through a human, through a believer. So He needs your mouth, He needs your hands, He needs your feet. And so the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is that you were designed to work in tandem with Him as one. And so until that relationship begins, you know, for me, I didn't know there was such a thing. I knew there was a Holy Spirit, but I knew nothing about Him. I really knew nothing about Him. I knew that my church respected Him, but they didn't teach on Him. Well, one day I came into a teaching, and I thank God for it. It was called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. When I read it, I was just amazed at the fact that the author had a friendship, a real relationship, where he spent some years getting to know the Holy Spirit as a friend. The biggest thing that happened was I realized that the Holy Spirit saved my life. He had, all those times God spoke to me and I just thought it was God, it was the Holy Spirit speaking the very thing that I needed to hear to help me to go on. Well, I began to do something, and I'm saying this today because I feel like God, some of you say, Holly, we've heard this before, but you haven't, I feel like God is saying, I want you to come in to the room where I am. I feel like He's saying, for too long, you've lived in your room, and I've lived in my room, and I've hoped that we would become one. But I want you to begin to come into my realm, my room. I want you to get to know me as your very closest friend, so that you can come to me before you come to man. You can learn how to receive help from me rather than going to a human. It's not wrong for people to help each other. That's not wrong. But it is best if the Holy Spirit is behind it, speaking the words. And so what will happen as you begin to develop a friendship with the Holy Spirit, there will come such a closeness. It doesn't happen overnight, but just like any other friend, you get closer and closer until He's your confidant. And you are His. Yeah, the Holy Spirit has secrets that He won't tell everybody. And sometimes He's looking for someone that He can share His heart with, that He can share His pain with. Does the Holy Spirit have pain? Yeah, there's times when He will grieve. There's times when He will weep. And there's times when he will use you to weep as a form of prayer. And what happens is if you yield to that, if you lend your body and your mouth and your eyes and your hands to the Holy Spirit, you may not understand it at first because it's a different realm. But what happens is it's a wonderful gift. The gift of intercession is the most precious thing. It says we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession through us, right, with groanings that cannot be understood, or some translations say groanings that can't be uttered. Sometimes it's weeping. It doesn't happen to everybody, but if you ask the Lord, it's a wonderful gift. You know, when I was young, I said, I really want to be used in prayer. And my thing wasn't about being used. I wanted to see souls. And I didn't have any ability to witness. I was so backwards and so shy. So I thought, well, perhaps if I could learn how to pray by the Spirit, if I could yield myself in prayer. And it became a wonderful lifestyle of praying something through and then watching it happen. I would pray it through with the Holy Spirit, and then I would watch it happen in the natural. And it was so miraculous, and it happened again and again until I began to trust in a life of prayer. It's like stepping on ice. Do you ever see a lake that's frozen over in the winter, but you're not 100% sure how strong the ice is? You don't just run out on there, do you, if you've got any sense? You step a little bit gingerly. You step a little more and you step a little more until you say, will this hold me? Is this solid? Well, trusting the Lord is like that, especially in the flow of the Spirit. You step out and you say, is this strong enough? Is this right? And you learn how to trust the ways of the Spirit. And so when I was young, I asked God, please, I will do anything to win souls. And I was so bad at it, I can't even begin to tell you. But the Holy Spirit gave me what I would call a gift, and it was like travail, or Paul calls it travail. Paul, in fact, said, I travail in birth until Christ is formed in you. And if you look that word up, it means to travail like a woman in childbirth in agony. In agony. One definition of the word says it's like torture. You think, well, that's terrible. I don't want that. Well, it only lasts for a few moments, sometimes longer than others. But why would God do that? Isn't that strange? Why would God do that? Because there are some things that have no words. When someone, I remember one young prayer warrior, she was complaining because she was in a room full of intercessors, and they were in travail, and there were some noises being made she didn't understand, and she didn't like that. And I can understand that. It's very unusual when you first hear it. And she said one woman was almost screaming, and they thought she was getting deliverance or that it was really the devil. But be very careful. What was happening was she was seeing a person she loved making their entrance into hell. And when she was screaming, she felt like the person was screaming out to God. The person ended up, now here's the thing, she prayed it through. That means she didn't just stop halfway. She prayed until she got a release or peace. You pray until you come into joy, or you come into a sense of, oh, peace, that's done. Like, that's finished. And you can't help but know it if you've been in real travail. Okay? And so what happened is this young woman prayed it through. The person that she was praying for had been quite ill. They didn't know if she would live or die. But not only was she healed, she ended up having an encounter with God. And I think it happened within a week. And quite often when you pray something through, it's not simultaneous. Quite often what you've done is you've prayed through the playing out of that scenario in the natural. That's why they call it prophetic. That's why it says the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. You're praying over a situation. Let's say you're praying for your church. Let's say there's a situation that you can see where the enemy's trying to do something. And maybe I'm just making this up, but I used to be one of my church's intercessors. God called me and appointed me for 10 years to pray for my church and for my pastor. It was my only job in the Spirit. And I would sometimes, God would allow me to see and hear things that where the enemy was trying to get in, often through people who were not on the up and up, so to speak. And so I never could say anything. In fact, the pastor probably wouldn't have been open to hear my opinion, and no one needed my opinion. But my job was to go behind closed doors and pray that thing through. And what I saw was, I think I can pretty much say without exception, if I would pray it all the way through, pray through to peace, pray through to joy, pray through to singing, pray through to laughter, whatever that releases where you know, oh, that's done. That's complete. That's finished. And then what would happen is quite often I would write down maybe what I saw while I was praying. I would keep a journal. For years I kept a journal of what I saw or heard or a sense that I had. And then I would watch and I would see the thing play out. Quite often it would take a couple weeks, usually a week or two, sometimes even longer. But once you've prayed it through, you know. You know. You don't just believe or hope. You know it is finished. You know it. It's finished. And I would watch it play out, and time and again I saw the accuracy of the Holy Spirit. I began to trust in that I could walk on that water. In other words, I could walk on that ice. It was strong enough to hold me. And so when we say to you, we often say that our meetings are really a prayer meeting gone to town. I think most people don't know what we're talking about. What we're talking about, or what I'm talking about when I say that, is everything that I learned about the Holy Spirit, I learned in a place of prayer or being with Him. Sometimes intercession, sometimes travail, sometimes just talking, most of the time just listening and being coached, being mentored, reading the Word, sitting at the feet of the Word of God with the Holy Spirit, not just with my flesh and my intellect, but with the Holy Spirit, and having some conversation, asking questions. And what happens is we grow in a oneness, just like with any other friend. The more you hang out with them, the better you get to know them, the more confident you are. Well, with the Holy Spirit, I mean, I'm still growing. We will grow all the days of our lives, right? I'll grow all the days of my life because we're nowhere near where we need to be in the Spirit, any of us, I don't think, in my opinion. And so I will spend the rest of my life coming to know Him better and better. And He's challenging me to trust Him with bigger and bigger things, more and more things, right? And so what happens is, as you grow in the confidence of what's going on in your prayer closet, alone with you and the Holy Ghost, right? When you grow in the confidence of that, you begin to grow in your confidence in the words that God is giving you. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you'd never done this kind of praying I'm talking about. You'd never heard anything in the prayer closet. You really don't know. You didn't keep a journal. You don't know what He's saying. And let's say out of the blue, you're in a church service and you suddenly think, oh, I think God's giving me a word. How will you be sure? How will you have confidence in that? How will you say, I know this is the Holy Spirit? You won't. You'll be a nervous Nelly, most people, unless you're really unusual. You'll be nervous. You know, I used to get like flustered and my throat would tighten. I'd get red and like, oh, am I really supposed to give this word? You know, and then I'd be afraid it wasn't Him, afraid I would mess up, afraid they wouldn't receive it, afraid I would make them mad. And then after I gave it, I would just feel like, oh, did I mess up? You know, because I was young. But what caused me to grow in great confidence was seeing things in the prayer closet behind the scenes and then watching them come to pass. And you know, every single time your confidence level goes up, goes up, goes up, and goes up. Because what happens is you understand, I'll say it the way the Bible says it, you have your senses trained to discern good from evil. There's a sense of accuracy. There's a sense of the flow. And there comes a time with the prophetic where you have to trust that flow. But how will you if you don't know what it feels like? How will you if you haven't spent time in the prayer closet? So back to what I was saying, when we say, when I say, I've always said, our prayer, our meetings or preaching or praying, all that we do, retreats, everything, it's a prayer meeting gone to town. What it is that preaching, it's a prophetic preach, unless it's a teaching that God gave me. Prophetic preaching is like a really long prophecy where you're listening and saying, You're seeing and saying. You're hearing and saying. You're getting a memory. He's jogging your memory, and you say it. It's like a line feed from heaven, right? But how would you know that? How would you have confidence that if you hadn't lived a life of prayer? You wouldn't. And because the church has been relatively, now don't get mad at me, I'm going to say something. I feel like as a whole, globally, there's a lot of parts of the church that have been relatively prayerless. And I want to say what I mean by that. I'm not condemning or judging anybody, but I feel like God is saying that the church has fallen away from the deep places of prayer until it is a mystery to them how to feel the presence of the Spirit or how to know what God is saying. That shouldn't be a mystery to us. I've shared this before, but I feel like I'm supposed to say this. I remember when I was really serving God with all my heart. I was in church every time the door opened. I was really moving in the Spirit. I was helping people by the Spirit. And Lester Sumrall, who was an apostle, he was a true man of God, powerful, powerful man of God, came to town. He was standing about 12 feet away from me, and we were in a room of maybe 30 people, and he turned and he looked at me, right at me. And it was as though his eyes were piercing. It was like he looked through to the back of my skull, and he said, "You see how far you are from God." It shook me, because I thought, no, actually, I thought I was doing pretty good. I thought I was close to God. I thought I was doing well, but see, in God's eyes, see, I knew that was spoken by the Holy Spirit. Lester didn't know me from Adam. I knew Lester Sumrall was speaking to me personally by the Spirit in a time when I thought I was doing so well. And he said, "Do you see how far you are from God?" And I thought, boy, howdy, no, I didn't see that. I must be in trouble. What God was saying was, I had compared my, you know, it says don't compare yourself among yourselves because that's not wise. You know why? Because if you're someone that's accomplishing things by the Spirit, if you compare yourselves to the rest of the church, you'll think, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty close to God. But you know what? When we compare ourselves to Jesus or even to the Apostle Paul, not so much, right? We're not doing so good. We're not so close, are we? And so God is challenging all of us, the church, universally, globally, to come to a level that we have lost. We've lost some of the levels we were operating at, right? In the early church and even over the years. There's sections of the church that are operating in it. But what God is desiring is for people to come to a place where we are operating as a norm. That should be normal, the new normal, to operate in the Spirit by living with Him in the Spirit, doing things by the Spirit, accomplishing our projects by the Spirit. You say, all of them? Yeah, all of them. When I used to work in the secular world, I did all my projects. I had to learn how to do my projects by the Spirit. I had to learn how to do my secular projects because there were, some of them were just too big, too hard. You had to do them. You had to be brilliant to do them. Well, I need help with that, right? So I had to get help from the Holy Ghost. But guess what? He knows how to do projects. He knows how to come in on time and under budget and without issues in production. So God is trying to raise us up and raise our sights to understand this entire new way of life. It shouldn't be new, but it should be normal. And it's kind of how Jesus did it. It's kind of how Paul did it. Amen. And so one of the things that I feel like God wants me to say is that God is calling us into levels of prayer, and there's always more. So don't think I've arrived. None of us have arrived. I've still not arrived. I need to go much deeper. And I feel like the deeper I go, the deeper I need to go, the more I see, right? Kenneth Hagin said once, you know, he lived into his 80s, and he said, the older I get, the more I see how very little we really know about God. And you know what? That's true. The older I get, the more I see how very little. I see that what we have is such a small fraction of what God wants us to have. He's not mad at us. He's not condemning us, but He's inviting us higher. And He's saying, I will help you. You're not going to do it alone. I will mentor you. I will coach you. But I want you to come, leave your room. Don't be in a separate room from the Holy Ghost calling over to Him, help me do this. No. See, that's, I think, when I first taught going to a deeper level, you remember that course I taught years ago? Some of you have heard it on CD. One of the visions God gave me about Christians is that the way we were approaching him was we were looking at him as though God is in heaven, I'm on earth, I'm calling out to him, begging him, won't you come and help me? As though he's got to get all the stuff through, you know, from heaven to earth. And he showed me a picture of a person standing outside this beautiful, beautiful, rich home. And inside the home, they had one of those glass rooms, like a glass sunroom, just beautiful. It's full of people who were having a wonderful party. And this person was on the outside looking in, feeling like they were separated from God, yet they had relationship. And God said, that was never my intention. He said, throughout my word, I've said that you're to be seated. You're to be seated in heavenly places. Your citizenship is in heaven. Heaven should be your home. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. It is a way of thinking. It is a way of seeing. Don't be in a separate room from God calling out to him and saying, come and help me. Go into the room where he is. Get to know the Holy Spirit. You know, as God began to teach me about this, I remember, you know, in my early 30s, I'd preached a few times. I knew I was called, but there were no doors open to me, and I didn't understand, you know, why the long wait to be used of God. I figured something was wrong. I didn't know what. And I had to live through a lot and learn a lot. But I remember one day just kind of feeling grieved because I felt like I wasn't really doing much for God, and I wanted to. I wanted to do something wonderful for the Father, but I didn't have anything to give him. I didn't have any ministry, you know. And God gave me a revelation, and he said this to me, and I feel like he wants me to say it to you. He said, if you were alone on a desert island, completely alone, and you were there for the rest of your life and you were never going to see another human, you could still fulfill a supercharged ministry. You could still accomplish so much for the kingdom if you would pray. That's how powerful prayer is that if you were completely separated from people, if you would devote yourself to prayer, you could change the world. You could change the world. You could change the political arena. You could change souls. You could bring revival. You could change the way a church operates. You can change the life of a pastor. Devote yourself to praying for someone. If your pastor has troubles, don't pick on him. Don't complain about him. Don't gripe about him. Pray in the Spirit. Because it's a tough, tough job. It's a hard job. You know, when I was young in the Lord, I had a pastor, and he was actually a great man of God, a man of the Word, and I thank God for him. But there was a few things that bothered me, and I was young and foolish. And I was sitting in church, and I was bored because I'd heard the sermon many times before. Some of you are probably saying that right now, like, Holly, please preach something new. But I can't, because the Holy Spirit won't let me. And so my pastor was preaching about his favorite subject, which was healing, and he'd preached it. You know, I was hearing it three times on Sunday and once on Wednesday, and it felt like it was just never going to end. You know why? Because we didn't get it. But God spoke to me. I was saying something to God like, could we, please? Here's, you know, you should never talk like that, but I did. I was being carnal. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, it's your own fault that you're in this boat right now. And I said, really? He said, there are some things in that man's life that I have assigned to you to pray through. And if you don't do it, it will not come to pass. See, I had a special assignment. I'm not saying you have that, but I am saying let's not complain about each other. Let's pray. When you see a problem in somebody's marriage, don't talk about it. Pray about it. Pray them into the kingdom. When you see a problem with your spouse, don't get mad. Go pray for them. You know, people can't help where they're at. Most people are doing the best they know. You know why people are stuck? You know why you're stuck? You know why I get stuck? Because we have filters in our thinking that stop truth from coming in. Filters, listen, filters can kill you. What a filter is, you know, I could preach a sermon, and I noticed that over the years, I might preach a sermon, and I pretty much know what I said, and people would come up, and different people heard different things. Like I meant A, and one person would say, oh, when you talked about B, the other person would say, when you talked about E, F, and G, and I would think, I never said that, I never breathed that, I never even thought that. What happened? They were hearing through their filters, and we've all got them. And it's a way of hearing because of what's happened to us in our life. For example, if you know someone that's been deeply wounded by a parent, either parent, mom or dad, they begin to hear through that filter if they were, let's say they were always criticized, or let's say they were always condemned, or rebuked, or spoken harshly to. Some people grow up under terrible circumstances. What happens is we start to believe that and hear through those filters. So that if they come in, a person 30, 40 years later, right? Let's say, just giving an example, they can go over to the community college and take a class, and their teacher goes to correct them, and they hear their mom or dad yelling at them, condemning them, rebuking them, and calling them stupid, when in fact the teacher's actually trying to help them and has no evil intent. But they're hearing through a filter of a wound, right? I don't know how we got here, but this is where we are. And so we need to pray for people, right? For God to be able to help them. If you think people, why don't they get it by now? And I'm guilty of this. I thought, good heavens, why do some people get it right away? Some people don't get it for 10 years. This is why. And it's not their fault. They have to have some help. They have to have help getting the filters. And so do you and so do I. We have to pray through till we see, why am I not able to get this? I wish I had a nickel for every time I've gone to the Holy Spirit and said, what is hindering me from understanding this thing? You're saying it clearly. I hear it with my head. I get it, but I don't get it here. What's my problem? I'm not getting it in my inner man. What's wrong with me? And not in a condemning way, but what is the problem? And he's so good, he'll shine a light on that filter or that lie I have believed. Amen. Holy Spirit is the closest friend you have. He loves you. He is Jesus in spirit form, right? So don't think it's, some people think they're different. They're not. The Spirit can manifest himself. He is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He is the Spirit of the Father. They are one. And the Spirit is always trying to bring glory to Jesus. And he wants to bring glory to him through you and through your life and through your studies and through the way you speak. He'll give you a word in due season for somebody you've really been trying to persuade them. You've been trying to get them to understand, and you've tried all these different arguments, and it hasn't worked. Okay, take the hint. You need the words of the Holy Spirit in the timing of the Holy Spirit. And the only way to get that is in the place of prayer. The Holy Spirit wants to raise you up as a powerful man or woman of God that can speak a word in due season. A word in due season is as accurate as a piercing arrow right to the center of the bullseye, right? When he speaks, it's the person knows it. It's like, oh, I can't believe you said that, right? And the Holy Spirit wants to use you. And you say, well, I've never been able to prophesy. Don't worry about that. Just work on your friendship with him. Get yourself a little journal, not a diary. A diary is your emotions. That won't help. Writing down your emotions is of no value, right? Spend some time with him. Spend some time praying. Pray in the Spirit. You may get an impression. It may be faint. It may not be words you heard on the inside. It may just be an impression. It may be a scripture that bubbles up. It may be a little vision, a picture in your mind's eye. A lot of visions, closed visions, are not, you don't see them openly like panoramic as though it's happening in front of you, right? That's an open vision. An open vision is you actually think it's happening because it's so real. Edgar was very prone to open visions. I'm more prone to I have had open visions, but that's more rare for me. But I am very prone to closed visions, which means I see it in my mind's eye. That's probably not the best description because it's not really my mind's eye, but I see it in the Spirit. And it's like a little movie that will play out or a picture. And that's how I usually get word of knowledge. But that is developed and understood and confirmed by learning to pray. That's where it's all done. That's where everything happens in the place of prayer. That's why we're so strong on having prayer teams and praying with people regularly, because everything, all success is based on prayer. Amen. People who who are devoted to the place of prayer do see revival. You know, there was a man who lived a life of prayer, and he would target a soul. He would meet a man or woman, and he would determine that he really wanted to see that person be saved. And he would go lock away with God, and he would pray for them, and he would never approach them. And it might be a week, it might be a month, it might be 2 months. But when he got that release, then he would go talk to him. And they say that he did not, there wasn't a soul that he didn't get because he had prayed it through. Why? Because there were things in that person's heart that they were resistant to. I'll give you one last example before I close. I was witnessing to this girl at work. We'd become good friends. She seemed very hungry. I could talk about God for hours. And she would listen, but she wouldn't get saved. And I thought, what is the holdup? And I told her tons. She loved hearing about God. She loved hearing about the Holy Spirit. She believed, but she would not get born again. And I couldn't figure out why. And finally, one day, I thought, I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray in the Spirit for her until I get a release. Well, I should have done that in the first place. Well, I began to pray in the Spirit, meaning I began to pray in tongues. And I prayed and I prayed until I got a release. That was on a Friday. Monday, she came in and she had gotten saved and joined a Spirit-filled church. After months, I'm talking about months of me talking to her. And I said to her, what happened? And here's the story. She had had a brother commit suicide and it broke her heart. And she was a member of a church, a large church, that believed that if a person committed suicide, there was no forgiveness. There was no redemption. They went straight to hell. And that was the end of it. And she thought, I don't want any part of a God like that. Right? That was her holdup, but I didn't know it. Because I wouldn't have even known how to quite address that. I could have tried, but God is so much smarter. So what was happening? She went for a walk. It was a rainy day. And laying by a puddle was a tract, a little printed tract, and it was called God and Suicide. She picked up this tract. Whatever her issues were and whatever her questions were, it answered her questions. It answered the questions of her heart. She got born again on the spot. She read the prayer in the pamphlet. She got saved. She said, Lord, is there a church that you would have me go to? She turned a corner, and there was this Spirit-filled Hispanic church, and she walked in. She went forward to receive the Lord, even though she'd already said the prayer. Ended up becoming a member there. She was fired up, ended up becoming a wonderful missionary. If I had not prayed in the Spirit for her, that sticking point might have kept her stuck all those years. But she became a wonderful and very much used saint of God. And so now let's look at the mechanics. The Holy Spirit is the only person besides her that probably knew what her sticking point was. What was the thing keeping her from saying, yes, Jesus, I want you? The Holy Spirit knew, but I didn't. And she probably wouldn't have shared that if I had asked. And so here's what happened. I made up my mind, I'm going to pray in the Spirit, right? So I go home and I pray in tongues. What happened? And here's what I did. I lifted up her name and I said, Holy Spirit, will you help me pray for her? I begin to pray in tongues. Now, what's he doing? He's praying. He's speaking in another language, in heavenly language, over her what needs to happen. He arranged for her to find the pamphlet. He arranged for the right pamphlet to be. It wasn't some other pamphlet. It was God and Suicide, the very one she needed. He set that up. Now, why did it have to be prayed? Because God requires for things to be spoken in the earth. Why did he give you tongues? Why is tongues such a big deal? And why does the devil, by the way, fight it so hard? Because it is God speaking his will into the earth and releasing the works of God. Amen. So God wants to raise you up to new levels. And you say, well, prayer is a lot of work. It is. I don't deny it. There is times when it can be work. But I'll tell you something. I don't know of anything in the Christian walk that can give you greater fruit, a visible fruit in the kingdom, seeing souls won, seeing people healed, seeing people come to Christ, seeing situations change. I just don't know of anything more powerful than a life of prayer. So I love you. I'm praying for you to get impartations of the Spirit and to get to know him as your personal friend.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.